Yeah.
What we need to do is kick some of this out deal 480 sales. We just sold the equivalent of 37 million tons to Egypt the day before yesterday. I haven't checked the market. I don't know what the impact it's had.
I haven't checked it, but it's in the last couple of days.
That's all right.
Think they need stronger stands?
Well, I think we have to find the issues up to the last minute. And, you know, as the American people catch on to Carter, we've been catching up, and that's what it's really happened.
What one specific thing bothers you individually most about the Carter candidacy and philosophy?
I think probably, I think it's probably much personality as anything. The way he jumps around from one position to the next. He just had two of his top people quit, one in California, one in Texas. One of them spent $8,000 for a full-page ad in the LA Times.
Is that right?
So,
Carter, what's specific about the personality, though? You said
I just think he wants to be president so bad that he'll say anything to any group, he'll shade his policies, to be elected. Now, he's talked about tax reform, he's talked about taxing the rich, he's talked about energy, but I haven't seen any policies. And I don't think it's enough to say to blame President Ford because the Democrats have controlled this Congress for 22 years. It's a little late to blame President Ford. Look at all these new programs and his platform, 65 new or increased spending programs.
Well, good luck. You bet. Thank you.
How much? 30%.
Oh, you mean, Jimmy, I thought that not just today.
I mean, since the race started?
Since July, yes, sir.
Well, I think, first of all, it was artificially high. Secondly, the Republicans patched up their differences. I think Reagan and Ford, the last night of the convention, sort of came together. That was the race very quickly. Then I think once the American people understood it was sort of one-on-one, Ford versus Carter, they began to sort out the issues. And it just seems to me that the American people caught on to Carter, or we caught up with Carter.
Senator Dole, I know that you're biased about this, but I really want to ask you, what do you think your chances are for next Tuesday?
Well, I think they're very good. The president called me this morning at 5 a.m. Roswell, New Mexico time, and he was just very up about the whole thing. He mentioned the change in the polls in Iowa as an example, and I told him where I was going. He knew where I was going, but he wanted me to be certain we carried the state of Washington, Oregon, and Montana, and other areas, but it's a close race. I think even the experts say it's almost too close to call.
Senator, the advertisement in the newspaper circulated depicting the Playboy cover as well as the Newsweek cover, do you think that's really a fair way to go about it?
Well, I didn't devise that ad. I don't. You know, you stop and think of some of the things that Carter said about the President Ford, and Mondale said that neither one of us were fit to be dog catcher. It doesn't upset me too much.
Senator, the economy's performance in the last two or three quarters has been rather sluggish. There's a new economic index coming out tomorrow. Have you seen it? And also, are you a little worried going into the election with the economy's performance as it's been?
Well, you're always worried when you have a little bump in the economy. Whether it's because of a slack in inventory building or what, you're still worried. But housing starts are up. The inflation rate has been cut overall. Unemployment is too high, but there's still 88 million Americans working. That's certainly a plus for President Ford. So, you know, if we could have it our way, we would have unemployment down to 3.5% to 4%, and inflation rate at 2 or 3%. But that's coming. It's coming because President Ford has had the courage to veto a lot of bills, to stand up to the liberal Congress, and I think Americans will understand that next Tuesday.
Senator, there were some surveys that indicated that President Ford's chances seem to go down with some of your campaigning. Have you changed your tactics at all?
Which surveys are those?
One of the national pollsters came out and said that surveys following some of the, well, following the vice presidential debates and following some comments that you made during your campaigning indicated people were a little turned off and it might have had some backlash.
Oh, we thought, no, we got just the opposite reaction. People were turned on after our debate. Somebody said it like it was. So I don't know what the survey that is. I've never seen it. That good crowds, enthusiastic crowds. We're out here to try to elect President Ford. We think we've done a pretty good job.
Senator, do the talk series they consider a 4% GNP real growth rate in recovery as the...
No, I say that's one of the things that could be stronger. If I could fix it up the way I could, I'd have it up to 7. But it's not at 7. But even their economists, even their economists indicate that we're getting into a period of steadier growth and greater growth, and not
the price
not
a Senator Dole. The price index, the election here in Washington Guard is a toss-up. How do you think it's going
to
go?
I think it's going to go for Ford.
Why?
Because I think when the American people walk into that voting booth, they're still undecided. They're going to say, well, you know, they're talking about a change. I'm satisfied. We're at peace. My son's not being drafted. Or if it's his son, he'll say, I'm not being drafted. We're not at war. We're strong because of President Ford's insistence. He has experience. He has leadership. It seems to me that he's right on target for Tuesday.
Anything specifically about events here in Washington State that might indicate a Ford victory?
Well, I just talked to the fellows when I got off the plane. They said it was moving our way, so I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much. I just looked over to my left and saw some good friends from Smith Center, Kansas. You live out here now, Doc?
No.
Well, Salina now, right. Well, oh, I see. All right, you're visiting your daughter. That's all right. Okay, good. Well, and they're good Republicans, so I'm pleased for that. But let me say I'm very happy to be here. And if we just work for 4 or 5 more days for President Ford, he's going to work for you for 4 more years. And there's been a lot of talk in this campaign and a lot of speeches and a lot of rallies, but now we're down to the time where it really counts. And we believe the key to success next Tuesday is getting out our vote, getting out those Republicans and Democrats and independents who want steady leadership and who want a strong America for peace. And if that happens, President Ford's going to be there for 4 more years. And I say... I say to you, as far as I'm concerned, I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it, so don't worry about me. But I would remind you that pineapple juice is a lot better for you than peanut butter. I've said before, it for a lot of reasons, but for one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, so I think you're right. My counterpart is my good friend, Senator Mondale, and we had our little stand-up debate, I guess you call it, down in Houston, Texas. I picked up a little cold air standing in the draft for 75 minutes, but I'm... just about shaking it off, and all that liberal air really gets you down after that much time. But I really guess if you could probably summarize the issues of this campaign in one sentence, you could sort of wrap it all up and put it all away in just a few words. And I guess the one sentence would be, the Ford Dole ticket stands for limiting the size of government, while the Carter Mondale ticket stands for just the opposite. And let me say why I believe that's the case. Now, we can look at the Democrat platform. We can look at the 65 new or expanding spending programs in that platform. We can look at the 22 new or expanded agencies that would be created by that platform to deal with those expanded spending programs. We can add up the cost of just five of those programs, the cost of just five, not the whole 65, is in excess of $100 billion. And I don't know about the taxpayers in this part of America, but I think you're pretty much like taxpayers everywhere. You kind of like to know how we're going to pay for that. It's going to be higher inflation or higher taxes. It's got to be one or the other. I know Governor Carter said there's going to be this big dividend. He's going to use this $60 billion dividend to pay for new programs. Well, I just say, don't you believe it. It's either going to be higher taxes or higher inflation. Now, Governor Carter's talking, as of yesterday, about a tax cut. It wasn't too long ago in the Associated Press, he was interviewed by the Associated Press when he said a number of things. He said, first of all, he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Is there anybody here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? We always have a doctor with us. If you'll hold up your hand, we'll get to you as soon as we can. But I think most Americans and middle-income Americans feel their taxes are plenty high right now. And that's why I offered an amendment on the Senate floor just a few months ago, supported by President Ford, to raise your personal exemption and that of your dependents from $750 to $1,000, and that's tax relief. That's tax reduction. But the liberal Democrats who talk about tax reform and who've controlled this Congress for 22 years, almost on a straight party line vote, voted it down. And I just suggest that President Ford stands for tax reform, and Governor Carter just stands. He just stands and talks and gives you different positions, and I don't really believe he understands what tax reform is all about. And so if you're concerned about tax reform, concerned about your tax dollar, and concerned about paying more taxes, I suggest you stick with President Ford. And he'll do his best to cut the rate of inflation. He's cut it in half. He'll do his best with a liberal Democrat Congress to have real tax reduction. And I want to talk just briefly to the young men in this audience and to the mothers and grandmothers in this audience. You know, I think the one real concern of Americans and the one real concern that cuts across party lines, whether you're Democrats or Republicans or independents, is the strength of America, whether it's moral strength or military strength for peaceful purposes. We're talking about strength. And this year, for the first time in almost a decade, we've increased our military spending. We have real growth in the military budget, again, not for any other reason but peace. We have it because of the leadership of President Ford. And so I say to the mothers, and I say to the young men in this audience, no one is being drafted. No one is being called to leave school. You're not having to leave your job. We're not announcing any memorial services here or anywhere else in America for someone who's being brought home from some war that we didn't know how we got into and didn't know how to get out of. No one's coming home from a hospital with an arm missing or a leg missing. And I say that means a great deal to all Americans. And we're going to maintain that posture if we have a man in the White House who has the experience and who's demonstrated that experience, as has President Ford. I say take a look at the record. You have to take a hard look at Carter's statements because he doesn't really have a record. But take a look at his statements. He said in 1975 he wanted to cut defense spending $15 billion. He said this year in 1976 he wanted to cut it $5 to $7 billion. And Senator Mondale probably has the worst anti-defense record in the Senate of the United States. probably equals that of Mont McGovern's or exceeds that of George McGovern's. Now, I don't want any waste in defense spending. I don't want to spend your tax dollars for defense. And I wouldn't vote for more defense spending if I saw the Russians cutting their spending, or if we had some real arms limitation agreement, which President Ford is working on, by the way. But I just sort of have a gut feeling that you can't sit down with Russia or the People's Republic of China if we're number two in the world. And I want to be number one for the sake of peace. I want to be number one for the sake of peace. And I'd frankly hate to think where we'd be today if the Senator Mondale's in the Senate prevailed. He's against the B-1 bomber. He's against the C-5A. He's against the Trident submarine. He's against the F-14. He's against the Poseidon missile, you name it, and he's voted against it. And where would we be today in America if Senator Mondale and those who follow that very, very liberal, short-sighted philosophy were in the majority in this country? And I say you better take a hard look. And American people will take a hard look. And the surveys indicate that American people are looking now on Governor Carter's defense posture and looking to Senator Mondale's very, very anti-defense record in the Congress. And if that's not enough, if you take a look at tax reform, oh yes, Carter's talked about tax reform. He said all incomes should be treated alike, and I hope there are some farmers in this audience, because if you sold your farmland under Carter's proposal, you won't get any capital gains treatment anymore. You're going to pay the tax right across the board. If you have breeding stock and sell your breeding stock, no more capital gains treatment. You pay on all the gain, not just half of it. And if you're a retired couple, a retired man, a retired woman, or anyone for that matter, one fellow here is talking more than I am, but if you own stock and you sell that stock, you're going to pay on all the gain under Governor Carter's proposal. And I just say take a hard look. And he goes up to New York. He makes his acceptance speech. He says our tax system's a disgrace. He doesn't tell you that the Congress has been controlled for 22 years by the liberal Democrats. They chair the committees. They write the tax laws. But then the week later, he rushes up to New York again to meet with a small group of small businessmen, Henry Ford and other small businessmen. And they go to this little out-of-the-way place for lunch. It's called Club 21. You've probably all been there. The tab for that little luncheon for 52 small businessmen, Henry Ford and others, was $1,500 and some. I imagine you probably spend that much for lunch daily. But somebody else picked up the tab. It was picked up by Coca-Cola Company, another small business concern. And so Governor Carter told these small businessmen, don't worry about any tax laws or any changes. It's going to take me a year to get around to it. This is that same man who stands up before audiences of what he calls the working men and women in America and calls our system a disgrace and says it's filled with loopholes and says he's going to tax the rich. He doesn't tell them about that $41,000 he took off his income tax in 1975. And when someone asked him about it, he said, that's why we need tax reform. So the millionaire stands before the audience and tells you about what he'll do for you. And I just say it's a very important election we're about to engage in. I would like to spend just a couple of minutes on agriculture. I served 8 years on the House Committee. I've served 8 years on the Senate Committee. I'm now the ranking Republican on the Senate Committee. I was one of those senators who disagreed with the embargo when it happened. I didn't wait till I was running for some office. I said then it was a mistake, and it was. President Ford has since defined his position very, very clearly. And there'll be no embargo under the Ford-Dole administration unless there's some extreme emergency. I would also say that I support the recent efforts by President Ford to raise the loan levels on wheat and other grains. I think he's raised them high enough because we don't want the government back into the business of owning grain and dumping it on the market as Secretary Freeman did for 8 years to drive down farm prices. I'm against a government-owned grain reserve, and I would ask you to take a look at the Democrat platform and what Governor Carter said in this area. I would ask you to take a look at what he said about price supports and planting restrictions and production restrictions. I think we have a pretty good program now. I think it needs to be updated. We need to change the target prices. But under Republican administrations, at least we're getting the government off the backs of the American farmer. And I think the farmer appreciates it by and large. And that's the kind of a program we'll have under a Ford-Dole administration. Well, I want to say finally, we hear a lot of talk about Governor Carter on an energy policy. I haven't seen any policy, but I've heard a lot of talk. Again, it's much like the Liberal Democrat Congress, and particularly the Senate of the United States. Talk and talk and talk, and no real progress on the energy problem. Now, Governor Carter isn't quite certain on deregulation. Senator Mondale is. He's against it. He doesn't want to deregulate oil or gas. He wants to roll back the prices, take away all the incentives, and I guess increase the export or the imports. I don't know how we're going to produce anything if we don't give those who are in that business, and I'm talking primarily about independents, some incentive. Because if you can't make a profit in a business, you're not going to stay in that business. If you can't make a profit in farming, you're not going to stay in farming. And I just can't figure out what they're going to say if they should be elected and it's 30 below zero and there's no gas or no other energy source, and they're going to stand up and say, well, at least we wanted you to have it at a lesser price. We're sorry we don't have any. We're sorry we don't have any. Now, I think there's a choice. I think before they put us out in the cold, we ought to put them out in the cold next Tuesday. We understand that we're slightly ahead in the state of Washington. We understand your candidate for governor, who's qualified by experience, been working with Governor Evans, is slightly ahead. We want John Spellman elected governor of the state of Washington, and he needs your help. And we're, of course, saddened, as everyone else is, regardless of our politics, about the tragic accident which took the life of Chuck Kimball, your congressional candidate, some time ago. But we are here in support of Dwayne Alton, who in the past 3 weeks has made an outstanding showing, who's working hard, and I would suggest you consider his candidacy very seriously. And I would only close with this. I just believe that you've got a choice in the direction you want to go next Tuesday. If you want an ultra-liberal philosophy, you've got it. And Carter and Mondale. Now, he's been out here once. He talked to the American Legion about amnesty. He tried to fool the American Legion because he knows they're opposed to amnesty. He got up and said he was against it, but he was for a general pardon. Well, I was on the program the next day, so I got out my dictionary, and it said amnesty, general pardon. So I couldn't quite figure it out, but I announced to the Legion that we were opposed to a general pardon, or general amnesty or general clemency or a blanket pardon or blanket amnesty or blanket clemency. For this reason, there are still hundreds of Americans missing in Southeast Asia. And I got to believe that our priorities are sort of mixed up and that we've got to concern ourselves first with those forgotten Americans before we concern ourselves with those who forgot America at a time of need. And I think our position is very clear. I'm opposed to gun control, and President Ford is opposed to gun control. It's in their platform. Senator Mondale was one of 16 senators who in 1972 voted not only to register your handgun, but to license the owner of that handgun. Now, I don't agree with that at all. I don't think many in this audience agree with that. We ought to start cracking down on the person who uses a handgun and start mandatory sentences. So you've got the choice of a liberal philosophy or a moderate to conservative philosophy, of a philosophy concerned about less government for the American people, concerned about health care, concerned about catastrophic coverage for long-term illnesses, concerned about, yes, increases in Social Security to keep up the cost of living, concerned about a firm energy policy, a good farm policy, and above all, concerned about peace and strength and freedom. We're respected by our friends, respected by our foes, potential foes overseas. That says a lot for President Ford. So as I started, if you'll work 4 days for President Ford, he'll work 4 years for you. Thank you very much.